The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I had great comfort in praying silently in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament at our cathedral, or there's a little chapel at our rectory, that I could go and just spend time and cry and do all the other things that you need to do as a human being to heal.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Deacon Ed Schoner. And the deacon, as you might have just heard, lost his daughter by suicide. And he is a big proponent of mental health and wrote co-authored a couple books called Responding to Suicide, a Pastoral Handbook for Catholic Leaders, and another one called When a Loved One Dies by Suicide. And you can find them at CatholicMHM.org, CatholicMHM.org. Deacon, it's good to have you back. I'm in the studio with Dr. Robert Tabali and also John Schaefer. I want to share an email I received, and I want your take, both as a deacon and as somebody who knows what loss is. This comes from a woman named Gail. She's listening in Providence, Rhode Island, and she wrote to me. She says, "Drew, my husband," her byline and subject is, "I can't listen anymore," is what she said to me. And she says, "My husband died 2 weeks before Christmas. I prayed for his total healing through daily rosaries, hundreds of memoraries daily, prayer requests. I even offered my own disabilities a sacrifice that God would heal my husband. And I surrendered it all to God. I begged that his will would be done. And God called my husband home." You know, when I listen to your show, he says, when we pray for others, you know, so often I hear all these prayers that are answered. You often talk about how God always answers prayers in a positive way. Many people send in their praise reports and their answered prayers. But what about people like me? People who are suffering in emotional and spiritual pain. Prayers who are answered in ways not that we expected or even wanted. I'm triggered by listening to your show, triggered by thinking I didn't maybe pray hard enough or have enough faith. That's why my husband died, and I just can't listen at this time. Maybe with working through my grief, and with God's grace, I will one day listen again. And my heart goes out to this woman because she's not alone. I mean, she's in the midst of a deep, deep agonizing pain, the loss of her husband. And she prayed and sacrificed and did everything that she could possibly do. And yet her story was written in a way that she didn't want it to end, just as John's was, just as my producer Tom's was. They all prayed and had faith, and yet God called them home to eternal life. What would you say to somebody like Gail, who right now says, "I prayed, but God didn't hear my prayers"?
Well, God, of course, heard your prayers and heard all of our prayers. God knew our prayers before they were on our lips, what we were praying for. You know, death is not the end. I guess that's any Christian, that's the basic premise of our understanding of our Christian faith, is that we have hope, faith, hope, and love, and there's always hope, and death is not the end. And so her husband who died has not disappeared. Her husband that died is still very much exists. That's why Christ came into the world at Christmas, to reassure us of that he came and took on everything that human beings take on except sin. He even took on death and showed us the way through the resurrection. And that's what we hang on to. That's what we know. It's not just some sort of pious-sounding phrase that I'm offering here, but it is a reality that when we die, when our loved ones die, that Christ, the promise is that we can live live through the resurrection of Christ and live in heaven and live for all eternity with Christ. And that's the hope that we cling to and that we know is in fact true. And that's all I can say. That's the answer of Christianity, and that's the answer of Christ. And I know going through this myself. So all these prayers that we say, you know, you talked about the prayer of the Good Samaritan. You know, his child eventually died. He eventually died. Lazarus has died. We will all die. So we have to accept that reality that our children are going to die. Everyone we love is going to die. And memento mori, if you know that phrase. Absolutely. Remember your death, and remember your death every day. Remember your loved one's death. We are all going to die, and but we can live in the hope of Christ and prepare ourselves daily for our death. Because you said earlier, Drew, you know, you'd like to spend some time maybe getting prepared for your death.
Sure.
You might not make it home for dinner tonight,
that's
Drew.
True.
You just don't know.
We do not know the
moment of our death. And so what we can do is live in preparation for our death and not fear it. None of us, of course, want to die, but we don't have to live in this. And Christ has given us this ability to live in hope and live with courage and not fear death. And I think that's the answer that Christ has offered to us.
And Deacon, I take a great deal of comfort in the communion of saints, that if I lead the kind of life that Susie led and am faithful, that perhaps I can be joined in that number where I will see Susie again. That's what and our Lord, of course, but just to be there.
I always joke, John. I don't joke. I'm quite serious about this. I'm a convert to the faith.
So am I.
As a Protestant, and I was, and I've since come to one of the doctrines of the faith that I've since come to think is, makes a lot of sense and gives me great hope, is the doctrine of purgatory or purification. And I always joke, I hope I didn't make it into purgatory by the skin of my teeth, because Lord knows if I did drop dead this afternoon, I will need a period of purification. I would not want to live for all eternity the way I am right now, with my fears and my mental health issues and all sorts of things like that, that I'd be purified. And that gives me great hope that you don't have to be perfect to be entered into heaven. God will purify us and perfect us. You need to live in faith. You need to live in the belief of Christ.
Right.
But you don't need to be a perfect human being. Christ gives us that hope, too. And the church has clarified that for us through this doctrine of purgatory or purification.
Right.
I like prefer the word purification. But, we can live in this great hope that that we can live for all eternity with Christ. Communion of saints. That's a nice way to describe it. Communion of saints.
Yes, so if I could comment, you know, we are the Lord's, and our great calling is to love God more than we love our own, more than we love our life, more than we love our wife, more than we love our children. Mm. And for many of us, I firmly believe that purgatorial existence or suffering or purification can begin here on earth, and that a lot of the suffering that folks go through is a challenge to use those sufferings to understand that we are the Lord's and that everything we have is of the Lord, and everything that we hold dear to us, we need to love the Lord more than we love that.
Yeah. You know, so. Hey, Bob, you know, since you're just joining the conversation, share your story. You know, we all know you as the infectious disease doctor that comes on and has guided us through COVID, but you have suffered great loss. You know, John shared his story. We heard the deacon's story. My producer, Tom, lost his daughter. A mutual pilgrim of ours, Matt Dunbar, who's been on many pilgrimages with us, he lost his beautiful wife, Christine. And Matt, if you're listening, our heart goes out to you. And that was devastating for him. Share your story of loss.
Well, it's kind of hard to know where to begin, but kind of had a night to day fall off your horse kind of conversion. Left a family business, went back to college, and while I was there, felt a calling to go into medicine, never thinking that I could get there. In medical school in New York City during the AIDS epidemic and the initial parts of it, I was in the library in one of the hospitals, and there was this really, really, really cute librarian in there. And I thought, oh, she's really cute. And I was kind of single, you know, very single, extremely single. I couldn't even talk to a girl. And turned out that she was from Chicago, and I didn't realize that she was a medical student and working there part-time in the library. But the Mets were playing the Cubs, so I said, hey, why don't we go to Shea Stadium and see the game? So she rooted for the Cubs, I rooted for the Mets, and our second date was the next night, the next game in the series. And from that point forward, I kind of lost my heart to a young woman. One thing led to another, many phone calls in the night with her crying about her family's dysfunction and about she didn't think that God loved her and, you know, she couldn't make a commitment to, you know, give her life to God, which was kind of my primary focus, you know. Yeah. And she brought me home to meet her family, Filipino family. I didn't realize what was coming, sat in a semicircle with a family around me, asking me questions. Do you have a plan? What are you going to do in 5 years? How many kids are you going to have? And I didn't realize, but it was a job interview for marriage. And
wow.
They didn't like me because I'm not Filipino, and they didn't want us to get married, so they put a lot of pressure on her. So we decided to do our internship in different areas because you don't have any time in your internship. You're working 110, 120 hours a week. And we would match together for residency. Well, 6 months into internship, on New Year's Eve, I got a phone call from her sister and said, I've been trying to reach you. I said, what's up? And she said, Shirley was killed in a car accident on December 18th. And they were going ahead with a funeral in, you know, like 48 hours, whether or not they could reach me. You know, obviously, I'm not the most important thing. So I had to work that day. I had to work that night, actually, in the hospital, covering as an intern. Got a plane out, spoke at her funeral. Suddenly, I became like an adopted son in the family. And then I went on with my life. I don't know how I did. I don't think I slept for 2 years. I don't think that's an exaggeration. And I felt like my life had been taken away from me. My future had been taken away from me. All the children that we were going to have together had been taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand. And I thought, God, you know, I was evangelizing her. Mm-hmm. And one of my greatest fears was, you know, did she choose the Lord? You know, in the time that that was granted to her and the option that was granted to her at the time of her death, did she choose the Lord? She was struck by a car in a T-bone car accident. She's a very safe driver. She was worked on in the hospital where she worked. She was worked on there for about 6 hours. They worked frantically to try to save her life because she was very much loved and appreciated there.
Sorry about
that. And it was 34 years ago, and I don't know if you can hear my voice closing and the tears coming out of my eyes, but as I was telling, you know, Tom, Drew's producer, you know, this changes from the big thing in front of you to the big thing behind you in your life, and you can always revisit the pain very quickly. And, it's made me a better doctor in many ways. I tend to listen and be more patient with people that I serve in medicine. And I try to take care of them the way that I would want my own family members or I would want Shirley to have been taken care of. So there's a lot more dynamic to what happened in the future, but her birthday was always more difficult for me than the day she died. But it was very difficult Christmas season for a few decades.
I'm sorry, Bob, to hear that. I know it's very painful for you to this day. I want to take a few more.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Can I say something, Drew? I mean, the point that Bob made there was very important, and I think it's something that we can take solace from, that even in the depths of this grief, that God can use that grief and work through us to give us deeper empathy and deeper understanding. I'm sure many people in your practice, Bob, have seen that empathy and that care for people and that understanding that maybe, I'm not saying that's why, certainly not saying why she's died, but I'm saying that God has turned that terrible experience to the good. Nothing gets it can overcome God's love, and God can take anything and turn it to the good. And that's, and I'm sure that many people have benefited from your deeper sense of empathy and care for them.
Yeah, Bob's a good man. I've known him for a while. Very compassionate. In fact, he was the physician who worked with John and Susie. And what a blessing to have a doctor to take your own pain and know what John was going through in that difficult moment. Mary's been waiting for a long time in Dubuque, Iowa. Let me sneak her in. And if you want to join the conversation, we'd love to talk with you too. Call in at 888-914-9149. We'll take a few of your calls. 888-914-9149. Mary, good afternoon. You are on the air with Deacon Ed and Dr. Bob Tabali and John Schaefer.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Yeah, I heard John's story, and I was just amazed because it's so very similar to my story. It actually is my story. My husband died the same week that Susie died, and
Mary, are you still with me?
Yes.
I'm sorry. No, go right ahead. Mary, I don't know whether your signal's dropping or this is just a very difficult moment for you.
Yeah.
Are you there?
I'm here. Yes, I am.
Yeah, good. Pick it back up again because I think we lost your audio for a moment. You know what, Mary? You're here. I'm going to put you back on cue just for a second, okay? And they'll check you. You'll check your signal. We're having just a little bit of a connection problem. I want to ask the three of you here as well. Questions. I hear, and I pray to God I never have to drink from the cup you drank from. I mean, it's a special suffering. And I consider myself a man of faith and a man of prayer, and I've seen the fruit of prayer. But I know how weak I am, too. And what was your reaction? And Deacon, maybe I'll start with you, Bob, and then John, we'll go around the table. Did you get angry at God? Did you blame God?
Of course. Of course. That's a natural reaction. I was bitterly angry with God. I'd given him my whole life. I left a family business because I thought God wanted me. And how could he have allowed this to happen to me? Yeah. I was very, very angry. And I became like a prodigal son.
What brought you back to your love of God, your relationship with him?
I mean, it was always there knocking on the door. But I, you betrayed me once. I can't trust you not to betray me again.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really being betrayed. I was being challenged to grow.
Yeah.
And understand that whatever I think is mine is not mine. It's the Lord's,
Yeah.
So.
What about you, John?
Well, I was in a state of shock. Then when I did become angry, I read Job. It was just the readings at the time at Mass, and one struck me that one of the readings was where Job asks God, why did you do this? And God answers, oh, you, Job, you were here at the beginning of the world,
mm-hmm.
and you can show me the netherworld and the way to heaven. Pardon me for not, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, not telling you in advance. So my reaction was, I think, really formed by Susie's. A week before she passed, and you read her note on the air, she wrote a note where she said, while this is unfair and while I feel I still have a lot to live for, I've accepted that this is God's will. And then she concludes her note by saying to her prayer warriors, friends, and family, thank you, I love you. We will meet again in paradise. And so for me to be angry at God or or remain angry at God became something that I just was not willing to do.
Good for you.
Because I want to join her in the communion of saints. And in order to do that,
Amen.
I have to have that that belief in God, and that He will open that door for me. So.
Well, praise God for that. Deacon, you lost a child. What was your reaction to your relationship with God?
I've sent some of my grief support ministry, and after Katie died, anger is a common emotion after someone dies, especially dies suddenly. It's certainly a common emotion. In my particular case, my anger was more directed at the medical profession, the mental health care system, that it's not better than it is, because Katie did everything she could. But the mental health care system just has a long ways to go. We'll just leave it at that. That's a topic for another discussion. But that's kind of where my anger was focused. But anger is a very common. You get angry at God. You get angry at the doctors. You get angry at your neighbors, whatever. Anger is not an uncommon emotion. In fact, we were talking earlier about the stages of grief. That's certainly part of it. And it's okay to get angry for a while. And I would even say it's okay to get angry with, to vent at God in an angry way. Obviously, we don't hate God or anything like that, but God can take us getting upset. God can take our prayers and our gnashing and wailing. God understands that, and God understands it because He didn't make us to die. We were not created to die. There's sin in the world, and there's disease and death in the world. But I keep going back to that fundamental tenet of our faith, and why Christ came into the world to overcome. Because I would even say this, that Christ hung on the cross, and you could maybe interpret what He said as anger. Why are you forsaking me? Right. You can take it all different ways how that thing was expressed, but I can see in my imagination one way would be anger. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. But He did die, and He showed us the way through the resurrection that death is not the end.
Amen. Well, I love your perspective, Deacon. Thank you. Let me go back to the phones. Mary in Dubuque, Iowa, wants to finish her thought. I guess, John, she was talking to you about the loss of her own husband, which seems to parallel your story. Mary, thank you for waiting again. You are on the air.
Hi, Drew. Yeah, my story is very similar to John's. I lost my husband the same week. We were married almost 40 years, the same as he was.
Wow.
And I watched him suffer for so long, and we prayed the chaplet every day. We said the rosary every day. We had such a huge group of prayer warriors behind us that just prayed us through everything. And I really believe it's a grace from God, knowing that there's a purpose in all of this, that his suffering was not for naught. He tried so hard to offer it up every day. I miss him every day. I cry almost every day, but I know that there's just a thin veil between us. Yeah. I really, truly believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
And I know that he's doing every bit of good that he can do on the other side. You know, that maybe what he couldn't do here, God knows the purpose of it all.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. And boy, I'll miss him for the rest of my life. But I truly believe he's with me and that he is doing a tremendous amount of good where he is.
Mary, I have that same feeling about Susie. I told my grandson, the 7-year-old, when he was asking about Nana, and I said, "Well, I believe that two angels came down and they took her right to heaven." And she's there now, and we can talk with her, and I want you to pray. Yeah. When you say your prayers, you remember Nana, and you just ask her to intercede for you.
Yes,
that's beautiful. And I've had so many people say that my Tony is interceding for them. Yeah. And I want to tell you this, too, when you talk about the grandkids, I've had two granddaughters that were born since he passed away. And, their parents are so sad that he didn't get a chance to be with them. And I said, no, I really believe he held them before we did.
Wow.
He ushered beautiful. Them into life with
so
the Lord. I believe that he's right there with them. So God has a purpose in all of it. We just have to trust him.
Well, Mary, I love your faith. And thank you for your prayer, for your witness, and for waiting so long to talk with John. And I have to take a short pause here. There's a number of people on hold, so I'll try to go back to the phones. When we come back, I'll grab your calls. My guest today, Dr. Robert Tabali, sharing the loss of his fiancée in a tragic car accident. John Schaefer, who lost his wife through a very aggressive cancer, and Deacon Ed Schoner, his daughter, by suicide. Our conversation will continue right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
A little Mariah Carey there for you. Thank you, Maggie. Hey, thanks for joining me. If you're just tuning in, having kind of a somber, heartfelt conversation today about one of the realities of life. I mean, this journey that we call life is filled with many travails, right? Much suffering, many tears, and loss. And my heart goes out to those who mourn. I mean, Christ wept, didn't he? And it's one of the shortest verses in Scripture. It says he wept. He wept over the loss of his good friend, over Lazarus. And he resurrected the widow's, you know, son. And there's so many stories. Christ knew loss. And today I'm talking with several people who know it intimately. It's very close to them. John Schaefer just lost his wife. He's a friend of mine. He's been on many pilgrimages. And it's how I met him. And I became friends with he and his wife. And he lost her to cancer. Bob Tabali, who has been a friend of this show now for years, he lost his fiancée in a horrific car accident. Devastating, still brings tears to his eyes. And, of course, Deacon Ed Schoner, who joins us today, has made an apostolate now, a mission of helping people with mental health. And he knows what it's like as a parent to lose a child, especially by suicide. And we'll be more than glad to take your calls, too. There is healing out there. There is hope. And as Deacon Ed has pointed out so beautifully, life goes on. We were created to live forever, and one day we will be perfectly united, not just with God, but with those who've gone before us. Let's take a few calls, gentlemen. We'll go to Robert in Southgate, California. Robert, good afternoon. You are on the air.
How are you doing, guys? I just came back from Mexico. We buried my dad on Saturday. He passed away on Friday the 13th. He had a, apparently he got a heart condition. He was a smoker, but, eventually his heart started giving out. So we got the call last week. So, he didn't want to go to the hospital, and they told me, if you go to the hospital, your kids will come from the States and they'll come visit you. So he finally went. Long story short, he didn't live a good life. He was, a sinner. He was never went to church, none of that stuff. And the first night I got there, I told him, hey, Pops, let's pray. And he was like, no, I don't want to pray. I said, okay. His brother's a priest. He came the next day and he said, hey, we're going to anoint you. You know, we're going to give you the anointing of the sick. And at that point, he was like, okay. So he got up and he prayed for us for the first time in his life. He got anointed and he died the very next day. And and I just thank God he had that opportunity to be there alive and actually take it upon himself to say, yes, okay, anoint me. I'm willing to finally give up, you know?
Yeah, amen to that.
It's a real grace. Not everybody gets that same opportunity or the same grace. So that's a real blessing.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And Deacon, I'm sure you see this. You probably anoint many people who are close to their death. But I knew a man who lived a very immoral life, cheated on his wife, slept around, left his kids, just was not the best man. But in the end, he had cancer. And it was, I think, a grace from God. God loves us so much. He's constantly reaching out to us. You know, and sometimes something that seems so horrible like cancer can be a tremendous mean of purification for and salvation for this soul. In the end, he was asked to go to confession and he didn't want to. But like Robert, 2 days before God ultimately called him home, he did call for a priest. And he went, made a good confession, was anointed, He died wearing a scapular. And what a comfort it was to his family, who for years prayed for the conversion of their father and for their brother. And, you know, prayers work. We may not see it, but I know that the Lord told St. Faustina he reaches out to souls many, many times, even though they may even look like they are not conscious or aware. But God loves us and wants us with him. And there's something about the power of prayer. I'm sure many prayers were offered for Robert's brother, as for Robert's father as well. Your thoughts, though, Deacon, and we'll grab another call.
We have a merciful God, and the older I get, the more I start to understand, the less I understand. And God understands these things far more than we understand. God is the greatest psychologist, psychiatrist. He understands within our minds what lead us to lead these lives that we lead. And we just have to trust in the mercy of God to the very end, to the Amen. Very, very end. We can know that we have a merciful God, and we shouldn't be too quick to judge. Amen. We shouldn't be too quick to judge anybody. And we have a God that loves us. And
great message.
Accept Deacon. That reality.
Great message. Rosemary's listening to us in Spicewood, Texas. Gentlemen, I think you'll recognize this voice. I think I know who she is. Hey, Rosemary.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Father, hey. Dr. Bob. We've been on a couple of pilgrimages together, and we're in Ireland. And yes, hello. I just wanted to join in the conversation because I lost my husband in a avoidable charter plane crash.
Hey, Rosemary, let me stop you for a second because I want you to tell the story because you shared it with me before and how mercy, divine mercy, played a role in all this. Yeah. So let me I'll give you the time you need, but share the story because what you went through, you know what it's like to lose, you know, multiple times. So maybe share, you know, your story if you could.
Well, my husband was going on a golf outing with three other men. They chartered a plane. We were in Australia, so we were very far from home. And he had been playing a lot of golf, and he was really tired. And they were going down there for 3 days of three rounds of golf. And he was a little uptight about it, and that morning woke up a little agitated and maybe didn't really want to go, but this was part of the trip. And I said, I know that while you're gone for 3 days, that something might come up that agitates you, aggravated tiredness from playing too much golf. And I said, just say three times, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And he said, okay. And I mean, he was a religious man. He may not have been the most spiritual, deep thinker about religion, but he certainly was faithful. And so when they left to get on the van to take them to the airport, I ran out there and I said, remember, Jesus, I trust in you. It's the last words I got to say to him. And he repeated it, gave me a kiss and a hug, and off they went. And within 1 hour, the plane crashed on takeoff, and they were all killed immediately, along with the pilot.
Wow.
No, we didn't see it as such, but we heard about a plane crash and at the secondary airport there in Melbourne, and I said, that's where the guys are taking off from. And could not confirm it. I asked to call the airport. I asked the desk at the hotel, and they called, and I said, our husbands are on that plane that may have crashed there. And they said, well, we can't give you any information. So I happened to be across the street from the cathedral there in Melbourne, and I said, I have to go talk to a priest. And one of the other wives and I went over there, and we went looking for a priest and found the secretary at the church. And she said, come in, I'll have you talk to Father John, and I'll make a call to the police. Mm-hmm. So she took us to talk to Father John, and he just listened to our situation. A few minutes later, the secretary walked in, and she said, Father John and I will walk you to the hotel. The police are there waiting for you.
Oh, no.
It was gruesome. And for a year and 4 months, we did not know the cause of that airplane crash. Turned out to be pilot error. But I must tell you, it gave me great relief knowing that the last words I said to him were, Jesus, I trust in you, and that he repeated them back to me. and it'll be 6 years in February, and it's what keeps me going day in and day out. There's incredible sadness. There's incredible void. Holidays, of course, are extremely tough, but I'm blessed to have great support from family, and certainly the Relevant Radio family is my constant companion through pilgrimages and listening every day faithfully. Yeah. And I just feel that what has been said by John and Deacon is so important, because it reinforces that this life is a journey toward the next life. And having lost loved ones helps you realize that your mission now is to live the best life you can, so you can get to the next life Amen. With them. And that's kind of where I am.
Amen.
Well, Rosemary, thank you for calling. And again, my heart goes out. I know your story very much, and I'm grateful for your calling. I really am, for sharing that so intimately. And if I get down to Spicewood, we have to go out and get some good barbecue, okay,
Rosemary? You got it, and I hope to make it down here to see your daughter in the Texas area.
Yeah, I can't wait. I may come down in February, so I'd love to see you. It would be wonderful to get the chance.
Look
Thank you so much.
To it. God Thank bless you, you so much for all you do. Thank God bless you, too.
Rosemary, one of the great pilgrims who's... Dr. Bob Tabali and I were on a trip to Ireland last year, was it, Bob? And yes. John, you were supposed to come, but you bailed on us. Rosemary was there with Matt Dunbar. Matt was a colleague. It was a contributor to this radio program. He was a pilot for a major airline, and he lost his wife in a very sad way. And then, you know, we were talking during the break here, too, about Dave Duran.
Right.
I don't know how many of you remember the footage. You might have seen this. Regardless of where you live, there was a terrible Christmas parade accident in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where somebody ran through the crowds and just ran over these people. She was one of the dancing grannies. She was only in her early 50s, but he lost his wife very tragically. And to Deacon, your point, we do not know the day or the hour, do we? Whether you're getting on an airplane or you're taking a, going to the parade, you do not know.
Memento mori. That's what my understanding is, how the early Christians greeted each other with that phrase. Memento mori in Latin, remember your death. I think that's a good phrase for all of us to keep on our lips, or at least in our minds, on a daily basis.
Amen to
keep
that.
Keep your eye on the prize is another way to put it, another way to look at it. Keep your eye on the prize. Memento mori.
You know, Deacon, hold the thought, too. And Bob and John and everyone, I'm going to take just a short pause. Final break of the show, and then we'll come back. We'll take some more calls. I appreciate everyone's patience. I know you hold a long time. Do my best to get you on the air. Today, we're taking a look at loss and suffering, God's will, which is a mystery to all of us, and a reality that we were created to live forever, that there is a paradise that awaits us all, and there's perfect union with God if we pass this great test called life. I'll be right back.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Alone. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you are not alone. And I loved Rosemary's call, because she says, you know, Relevant Radio keeps her company. We are family. I mean this sincerely. I really feel this way. I mean, I consider Bob and John family. They're in the studio with us today, Dr. Tabali and John Schaefer, friends of mine, have traveled with them. Dr. Tabali, the epidemiologist, Deacon Ed Schoner joins us. He's been contributing over the years to the program as well. And your family, too. I know you might be homebound. You might be in the hospital. You may even be in prison. I've had a number of people say, hey, depend on hearing you. We're here for you. We want to pray for you. We want to help you know your faith. We want to help you in your walk with the Lord. We want to help you get closer to Him. And one day, hopefully, we'll all be united together. We will no longer be separated by geography, by time, by space, but we'll be intimately united. So I'm glad you found the program. I'm glad that I can be part of your afternoon.
If you're new, set your radio or whatever app you're using and tell others about us. It's always a mixed bag here on the show. Before we get back to the calls and to more conversation, I just want to share something that John had written. This is called The Luckiest Man in the World. And John and his wife, Susie, were married. Was it 40 years, John? 40 years. And cancer came upon her, pancreatic cancer, and it took her quite rapidly this past year. And John wrote this letter, and when I came across it, I thought I'd share it. He says, as empty nesters, we settled into a life where I would come home from the office in time for Susie and I to listen to our favorite afternoon radio show. John, I hope that's my show you're talking about. Susie always told me that she was making a fabulous dinner, and she would take a break from the preparations at 5 p.m. so we could play our game of Scrabble on the iPad. After the game, she'd kiss me and return to the kitchen, and she would finish up. Well, I'd read the paper until she called from the kitchen. She'd say, John, dinner's ready. And I always said, oh, boy. And we'd hold hands, pray grace. The dinner, of course, was always fabulous. I would do the dishes, and Susie would ask, you know, what should we watch tonight? We'd sit on the couch until bedtime and fall asleep into each other's arms. I was the luckiest man in the world. Well, one day came the diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. 4 months later, I laid on the floor beside the couch where she reclined. I was awake all night, holding her hand. In the morning, I knelt beside her and placed my face against hers. And I said to her, honey, I will always love you. I kissed her. I got up to go to the bathroom. And a minute later, there was a knock on the door. Mother has passed. The luckiest man in the world, no more. John R. Schaefer II. John, I am so sorry for your loss.
That was our life. I've heard callers talk about the loneliness and the void. That's what it is. It's a void that will not be filled here any longer. It's I just have to look forward to the future, like the Apostle Paul did. He said, I long to see God's face and to join with him in paradise. That's my goal, my wish. So,
amen. Susie in Northridge, California, good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I just want to say well done on your show. Just well done. I've learned so much from you and have gone so much deeper in my faith, and I just am really grateful for you, Drew. I'm calling. This is such a timely topic because I was having a conversation with my older son last night. I have two sons, one with autism and then my older one who's kind of stepped in and been the caretaker. And he said to me, Mom, I think you're finding your identity and your grief, and I want you to think about that. I lost my husband to pancreatic cancer 6 years ago, and we read a book called Don't Waste Your Cancer by John Piper, and we prayed for healing, and he was sick for 9 months, and he passed away. A year later, my dad died from leukemia, and 2 years later, I think my mom died of grief. Have all those losses, and then my nephew died suddenly after his booster a couple months ago, and I've tried really hard not to waste my grief. I use it as an opportunity to tell people about Jesus and to just tell people about grief, because this is such a good show. People tend to hide in their grief, and people don't know how much it hurts. So my question is, I know I'm always going to miss my husband. It really helped me to hear that after 34 years, that it's still painful. I'm sorry it's still painful, but I know I'll always miss him, but when is it? Yeah. I don't know. Time, people say move on. I don't know. I try to make a life of joy and all that, but it is. It's grief is a constant companion.
Let me, first of all, Susan, my heart goes out to you. I'm sorry. You'll probably always have that place in your heart. You know, there'll always be that pain. Deacon, you lost a daughter, and gentlemen, you know the pain of loss as well. I mean, Deacon, maybe you first. Grief is your area of expertise. How long does this go on?
We don't get over our grief. We'll never stop missing our loved one. We'll never stop loving them. The best image I can maybe give is the image of the risen Christ. Our grief, we're wounded by our grief. Christ was wounded on the crucifixion. But his wounds never left. He came back and showed Thomas. He said, touch my wounds. See, his wounds became a part of him, and it became a symbol. It became a way for Thomas to believe in Christ. And I think, and I truly believe this, is that God works through our grief, works through our wounds to make him present to others. And I'm sure you've seen that in your life, where your grief and your deeper empathy and compassion, and God can and does work through all of us and works through you to bring his love into the world. So that's a sure and certain hope that you can cling to. I go around and make presentations, and I tell people, you know, I don't know what's going to make me tear up sometimes, but, you know, get over it. I cry once in a while, you know, if you're not comfortable with a 60-year-old guy crying in front of you, you know, just deal with it. I'm going to tear up once in a while. It's the same with you. And it's the same with all of us. But they're tears of love, right? They're tears because we're fortunate enough to love someone so much. Here I am tearing up now, that we love so much that we can still cry for them. That's okay.
Deacon, I heard recently a saying, I'm sure you've heard it, with great grief is born of great love.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
A lot of tears today. I want to sneak another call in here. This is from Carlos, and he lost his daughter in a DUI accident. And, you know, he's angry with God, and he's not alone. I know a lot of people are angry at God for taking their loved ones. Carlos, good afternoon. It's good to have you with us. If I remember correctly, several years ago you called in, or we spoke.
Yes. You remember? Wow. Yes.
It's a tragic story. Yeah.
Yes, Drew. It's been a little over 4 years, and, I was real angry at God, and I used to be, pretty spiritual and devout Catholic, and just right now, I still feel very lost and going through the motions, and I'm still struggling with alcohol and medication to ease the pain. I still pray, but I can't get back to my prayer life the way I used to, the love for God I used to have, and the faith, I don't know what to do, because I have other daughters. She left a daughter behind, and I don't know. I just need prayers.
All right. Well, Carlos, we're here for you. And Deacon, I'm going to let you respond to him. I only have about 3 minutes left, and this is your area, so let me hopefully give
faith,
Carlos.
Our faith changes. Our faith and our relationship with God changes. And Carlos, it probably never will go back to the way it was before. My faith is not the same as it was before. We have a deeper, we have a more mature relationship with God. It might be a less sentimental relationship with God. It might even be a relationship in the dark. We might just be having to grope and grasp for God. But, you know, and I can tell by talking to you, you still want God in your life. You're still searching for God. And that's God calling to you, that God's calling to you, that he's still there. He hasn't left you, Carlos. He loves you as much as you love your loved one who died. And that's what our faith leads us. It leads us into the darkness and the sure certainty that God's with us in our darkness and in our grief, and God never leaves us, and that's the hope that we have, and that's what we cling to, and just with that, and our, like I said, our faith changes, and I hear that a lot in the grief groups. It's like, well, I prayed, I did everything I was supposed to do, they still died. Well, it's, I think what God's leading us into is a deeper and different type of relationship with Him, a deeper, more mature relationship with Him, and we can accept that, we can embrace that.
Amen to that. Well, Carlos, our prayers are with you. I'm going to ask everyone listening to, please remember all these people you've heard, and let's continue to pray for one another that God will bring that healing. We often talk about the physical trials we deal with. Those emotional and spiritual wounds run very, very deep and can be profoundly painful. So let's pray for one another. Deacon, thank you for your time. People want to get in touch with you very quickly. What's the best way to do that?
The Association of Catholic Mental Health Ministers. Go to CatholicMHM.org, and we have lots of resources there on if anyone's interested in starting a mental health ministry in their parish.
I'm very grateful for your time. John, thank you for sharing so deeply with us and so honestly. It's good to be here. We'll pray for you as well. And Dr. Tabali, thank you for your time over the years with us and for sharing a little bit of your personal side with us today. If people want to get in touch with you, only about 30 seconds, or they want to pray with you, I know you've got something coming up, right?
So we have a gathering to honor Father Sam Mazzucchelli on February 23rd out in near Galena. So if anyone would like to come with us, he's venerable. I believe he's a great intercessor, and I believe a saint in the future. Manager at germbusters.com.
All right. Till our paths again cross, count on my prayers. God bless.